Our scripture reading this evening comes from two passages. The first is Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah 7, let's read together the first 16 verses. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear Jashub, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field, and say unto them, Take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and of the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it, either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. The second passage is Matthew 1. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the inspired, infallible, sacred scripture. May God bless the reading of it to our hearts. The text for the sermon this evening is the second half of verse 23. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to one statistical count, there are 783,137 words in the King James Bible. That's about 750,000 words in our Bible. And tonight, our hearts will focus on just one of those words. The Bible is so rich that we can preach a whole sermon on one single word. The word tonight is a proper name. It is Emmanuel, the name of our Savior. In the text before us, it is spelled with the letter E, Emmanuel. In the Old Testament, we read Isaiah 7, verse 14, it is spelled with an I, Emmanuel. Emmanuel is the name. There are two enormously significant doctrines in Matthew 1, verse 23. The first of them is the doctrine of the virgin birth, and then the doctrine of the covenant, as it is revealed in the name Emmanuel. We cannot possibly do justice to both of those doctrines tonight. So we take as our text the second half of verse 23 and focus especially on the name Emmanuel. That's a very familiar name to us, especially during this Advent season when we think of Joseph and Mary and Bethlehem and the manger and the baby, and there are songs and verses perhaps that we memorize. But tonight we want to make sure we understand that when we think of the name Emmanuel, we think of God's covenant. And we'll come to that in the sermon. Before we consider this name, Emmanuel, we need to take a few moments to familiarize ourselves with the context, the historical context. And first of all, the broad context concerns Joseph's discovery of the pregnancy of his espoused or betrothed wife. According to verse 18, Mary was espoused or betrothed to Joseph. And that doesn't merely mean that they were engaged, as we think of engagements, but they were actually legally committed to each other. And that's why Joseph is called husband in verse 19, then Joseph, her husband. If we know, let's say, a young man who's engaged to be married, we would say of the young man, he is her fiancé. But we would never say, he is her husband. Joseph is already called her husband. And in verse 20, Mary is called wife. Only they did not yet live together, according to verse 18, which says, before they came together, meaning their relationship had not yet been consummated sexually. Joseph discovered that Mary was pregnant and He knew she was not pregnant by him. And now he has a crisis, and there are many things for him to think about. According to Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 23 and 24, a betrothed woman's unfaithfulness was grounds for death by stoning. Not only did Joseph not want Mary stoned, he did not want to cause her any kind of public shame. He didn't want to make her a public example by seeking out a lawsuit and getting the judges involved and going through a public juridical procedure. And so he was contemplating a way in which he could very, very quietly hand her a bill of divorcement and put her away for her apparent adultery. And yet, because he loved her so much, he was reluctant to divorce her for her adultery. He was thinking many thoughts. Verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now he has even more to think about. Take her. Don't be afraid. Don't suppose she's been unfaithful to you with another man. You take her and dwell with her and know this. Yes, she's pregnant, and the child in her womb has been conceived by the Holy Ghost. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's the broad context. The angel is addressing the concern of Joseph. And now as we narrow the focus in the immediate context that precedes the text, we learn Matthew, by inspiration, is telling us this virgin pregnancy that will result in a child whose name will be Emmanuel, God with us. This is the fulfillment of the word of the Lord, the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And we read that in Isaiah chapter 7. So Matthew 1:22 says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, that is Isaiah, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and thou shalt bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Emmanuel. His personal name is Jesus. My name is Brian. I can ask you, what is your name? And you have your personal name. When the young boy who came from Mary's womb was growing up in Nazareth, and someone would ask him, what is your name? He would say, Jesus. They called him Jesus. That was his personal name. But he's the Son of God. He is the revelation of the God of our salvation. There's so much glory that's contained in his person and work that it's not possible that one name reveals all of the glory that this one possesses. And so God in the scriptures gives him many different names whereby we may know him in the God of our salvation. And one of those names is Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So let's look at the second half of Matthew 1:23 tonight under the theme Emmanuel. First, covenant name. Second, comforting name. Third, confessed name. Emmanuel is a covenant name. It means, verse 23, God with us. Emmanuel is a Hebrew name. It's composed of three parts, Emma, Nu, El. Emma, with. Nu, us. El, God, Emmanuel, with us God, Emmanuel, God with us. Covenant name, the essence of God's covenant, is his relationship of fellowship with all of his elect people and their spiritual seed in Jesus Christ. And the covenant can be expressed as God with us. Already in the very first promise of the covenant of grace, we call it the mother promise, Genesis 3, verse 15, God said, you will not be with the serpent, and you will not be with the seed of the serpent. You will be against the serpent and his seed, because you are with me, and I am with you, God with us in the covenant. Later through Abraham, God said, Genesis 17, verse 7, I will be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Many centuries later, through Ezekiel the prophet, Ezekiel 36, 28, God promised, ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. We find that theme running through the whole Bible, all the way to the very end, the book of Revelation. John sees the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, and he says, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. So running through the scriptures is this covenant formula expressing the essence of the covenant. I will be your God, and you will be my people. I will dwell with you. And now that covenant formula is condensed into one word, a name. The covenant name, Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel means God. We begin with God. Everything begins with God. All true religion must begin with the knowledge and fear of God. God, so look up into the highest heavens by faith and behold your God, your great God. God is God. He's infinite. He's transcendent. He's self-sufficient. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need anyone. God is eternal. He has no beginning. You'll never understand that. He has no beginning, the I am that I am. He has no end. In fact, he's exalted above time and outside of time. He made time as a creature, eternal God. He is almighty. Caesar is there in the days of Joseph and Mary on his throne in Rome. And there's the whole of the Roman Empire. God set up that kingdom. God is almighty in his control of the whole universe. God is holy. He loves himself. He's jealous of his glory. And he will destroy all those who oppose him and his glory. God is God and forever God alone. And Emmanuel means God. Emmanuel means us. God with us. Now look down from the highest heights of heaven and look right into the dust. And there we are, so small and finite and weak and sinful, us. And we read through the book of Matthew, and there are so many descriptions of us spiritually. They're graphic, they're vivid. You read of a leper. Leper? Spiritually, by nature, we're all lepers, stinking and polluted. Corrupt in our sins. There's a lame man in the book of Matthew. That's who we are by nature, lame. We cannot walk in love for God. We cannot walk in love for each other. Beggars, spiritually, we are poor, destitute beggars. We have no hope in this world. Worry, anxiety, taking thought for the morrow? Yes. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? We have thought for the morrow. That's who we are, weak, frail, and sinful, and it all goes back to our original sin in Adam, our guilt in Adam. We were created perfect in Adam. We were living in covenant with God. And we said, no, we don't want to be with God. We want to be with ourselves and with the serpent. And we fell. And now here we are, weak and very, very sinful. Emmanuel means us. Emmanuel means with. God with us. With. This is the word that makes Emmanuel a covenant name. This is the word that signifies the closing of that great chasm between the infinite God and the finite man, between the creator and the creature, between the Holy One and the sinner. With the grand reality of the covenant of grace is not found in the name God. God is God, forever God. The grand reality of the covenant of grace is not found in the word us. Here we are, men, always men. It is found in the word with. God with us. God draws us to be with him. Emmanuel, covenant name. Now who cannot but exclaim, wonder of wonders, God with us, indeed through a wonder, the wonder of the virgin birth, the wonder of the incarnation, God comes down to dwell with us. Emmanuel does not mean God pictured to us. Go back now into the old dispensation. Go back to Isaiah chapter 7 when Isaiah first gave the prophecy of the virgin born Emmanuel. That came as a sign to the wicked king Ahaz of Judah. Ahaz was afraid because the neighboring kings were plotting against him and they were coming to destroy him. And so Ahaz went to Tiglath-Pileser, the king of Assyria. He said, Tiglath-Pileser, I am with you and you are with me. And they made a league together. God was angry with King Ahaz, and God came to Ahaz and said, ask for a sign. And Ahaz said, no, I will not ask for a sign. And so God gave him a sign. And though it came as a word of judgment to that wicked king, it came as a gracious word, a promise to the elect remnant in Judah, a promise that Emmanuel would come as God with us and thus bring to historical realization, the covenant relationship that for thousands of years had been experienced and enjoyed through pictures. God was the husband, Israel was the wife, and God and Israel lived together in covenant friendship through pictures. It was real. It was delightful, but they only had pictures of God. There was the picture of the Ark of the Covenant, a wooden box overlaid in gold with the mercy seat. Or there was the cloud of glory in the tabernacle. They had pictures of their God. But we all know that as wonderful as pictures are, and pictures are very wonderful, you love to receive a picture from someone, especially this time of year, and so do I. As wonderful as pictures are, though they are of limited value. In fact, just ask a widow. Ask a widow who dwells in the quietness of the four walls of her house, and there on the wall may be a picture of her husband. But that's nothing like her husband, for the person to be in that home so she can talk to him and he can talk to her and they can hold each other and commune with each other and love each other. In the old dispensation, Israel had pictures of her husband, and that was good. But all she had were pictures of the one she loved, pictures of the one who meant more to her than life itself, pictures of the one after whom she panted. And Israel of old longed for the day when God would come and dwell with them in a better way. And Emmanuel does not mean God pictured to us. Emmanuel means God with us in a person, the person of his Son, Emmanuel, God with us. The wonder is that the babe of the Virgin Mary's womb, the babe who was placed in swaddling clothes there in the manger, the babe who was seen by the shepherds, the babe whom Herod wanted to kill, the babe whom the wise men came to worship, that babe is in one person, God and man. That babe is the second person of the Holy Trinity, the eternal Son, come down into human flesh. In that babe dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In the person of that babe, the creature and the creator, the infinite and the finite, the holy, joined together. Emmanuel is God. God with us in our flesh. And the wonder of that covenant name is that it reveals not yet the covenant perfected and consummated in heaven, but it reveals the historical realization of the covenant of grace through the wonder of the incarnation. God with us. So that when Mary held that little baby and she looked at that baby, she was not looking at a picture of her God. And the shepherds didn't come to see a picture of their God. And the wise men didn't come and fall down before and worship a picture. And aged Simeon did not hold the babe and say, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen a picture of thy salvation. Mary saw God. By faith, all of the manifestations of his glorious divinity were veiled in his human flesh, not with her physical earthly eyes, but by faith she beheld her God. And the shepherds, they came and beheld their God. And the wise men, they fell down and worshiped their God. And Simeon saw the God of his salvation. They saw the second person of the Trinity in our flesh. God, who came to save them, who came to conquer death and deliver them from sin and death. They saw God. God with us in human flesh. God right here on this planet that we call Earth. God right here in this world of sin and iniquity. God right here in this world where there are temptations everywhere and the tempter goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. God with us right here in this world with all of the suffering and the frailty of our human flesh where there is death and the grave itself. God with us. What condescension and what a wonder of grace. God with us. What if the high priest would disrobe, take off all of his glorious vestments and garments and put on some dirty clothes and walk out of the temple and down Mount Zion, out into the wilderness where the filthy lepers are, because they mayn't come into the city, and the high priest would go out there to be with them. No high priest ever did that, but what condescension that would be. Or if the president of the United States would take off his finely pressed suit, put on some old dirty flannels, go out of the White House into the outskirts of Washington, D.C., maybe into an abandoned rail yard somewhere, and get in the dirt and go underneath some old semi-trailer and get close to a homeless man living there. The president with the homeless man. No president's ever done that, nor would he do it. That's quite some condescension. That's nothing compared to the grand reality of the covenant of grace. God Himself, self-sufficient, infinite, transcendent, glorious, almighty, holy God, I am that I am, with us sinners here. Emmanuel, covenant name, wonder of wonders, what condescension, God with us. The covenant name, then, is a very, very comforting name. First of all, there is comfort for us tonight in this name in our sins. Comfort for us in our sins. For Emmanuel does not mean God against us. Would you dare object? Would you reply against God? Would you charge God with evil? Knowing your sin, would you reply against God if He revealed Himself in His only begotten Son who was born of a woman and was called God against us as a destroyer and avenger of sinners? That would be so terrifying. If God would come here in the person of His own Son as an avenger and a destroyer of us, and we all deserve that, that would be justice. And to some men, the babe of Bethlehem is an avenger, because although Emmanuel means God with us, Emmanuel does not mean God with all men. God is against some men. That little baby in Bethlehem who grew up is against some men. Old Simeon said, "He is set for a sign which shall be spoken against. Men speak against Him, and He speaks against them." There would be no injustice on God's part if He gave a son whose name is God against all men, for all men are sinners and to be destroyed everlastingly. Oh, how comforting. His name, it means God with us. And then consider what it took for Emmanuel in his work in order for his name to be true, God with us sinners. His name does not mean God with him. God is with him. Of course, God was always with him, and God is with him. But as the sin bearer who came to take all of our sin and the guilt and the shame and the punishment of our sin, and especially during those 3 hours of darkness on the cross when God took all the vials of His holy wrath and He poured those vials out upon the head of His Son on the cross, He didn't feel God with me. He didn't experience God with me. He was being punished for our sins. And He experienced the inexpressible agony of hell so that He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" He was forsaken of God, but in no other way could He be Emmanuel, God with us sinners, except He be forsaken for our sins and obtain everlasting righteousness for us so that we can be brought into God's presence and then never forsaken by God. Emmanuel, God with us. And that's our comfort as sinners. When we're troubled by the guilt of our sin, the shame, the shame that we feel because of what we've done, when we are falsely accused, as may happen. I don't know if that happened to Mary. Maybe it did. Maybe there was some gossip, some slanders running around Nazareth. Did you hear what Mary did to Joseph? Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. But maybe you are wickedly slandered, and some run around and say lies, speak lies about you. As we sorrow in the guilt of our own sin, in the shame of our sin, the burden of our sin, and maybe the sin we feel of others who sin against us, we put our trust in Emmanuel, knowing that the Holy God is with us, unholy sinners, pardoning us, receiving us, purifying us, and delighting in us. Emmanuel, God with us. Second, in the name Emmanuel, there's comfort for us in our fears and dangers. When those who hate us as God's true church rise up against us and oppose us and slander us and try to destroy us, we will not say with wicked Ahaz of Judah, Tiglath-Pileser is with us. We will not say the Supreme Court of the United States is with us. Now God, in His good providence, might so rule through the Supreme Court of the United States that decisions are made that give legal protection to the Church of Jesus Christ in the world. But even if so, we will not say the Supreme Court is with us. We do not say the President of the United States is with us. We do not say Reverend so-and-so, he's with us. No, don't say it. We say Emmanuel, God with us. That's our comfort. And when great tribulation comes, the tribulation our Lord prophesied, we will say in our hearts, you wicked persecutors, you Herods, you Caesars, you hate us, you're against us, you want to destroy us. God is with us. Then who can be against us? You put us in the fire, you tie us to that stick, and you start the fire so we are with the flames. God is with us. You put us down in that dungeon, and even at the bottom of the dungeon, there are lions with us. No matter. God is with us. You do not let us allow us to buy and sell. We starve. We suffer, we and our children, with prolonged starvation as you persecute us and hatred for us. We say, Emmanuel, God, Almighty God, He is with us, and He comforts us. And then how great will the cry of adoration be on the last day if these saints cried in adoration, Joseph and Mary and Anna and Simeon and the shepherds and the wise men. For after all the history of the old dispensation, they were crying, Come, Emmanuel, come, thou long-expected Savior, come. How great was their cry of adoration when they laid their eyes upon Emmanuel. How much greater will be ours. If you and I are alive on the last day, and then amid all our tribulation with uplifted heads, we look into the highest heavens, and there He is, the Son of God in the clouds of glory with all His holy angels to take vengeance against all those who despise Him and to deliver His church, then we will say as never before, Emmanuel, look, Emmanuel, God with us. In all our fears, in all our dangers, comfort in the name Emmanuel. Third, and finally, in the name Emmanuel, there's comfort for us in all of our afflictions, the troubles of this earthly life. even the troubles that are common to all men, to believer and unbeliever. The unbeliever, no comfort. We have comfort in the name Emmanuel when pain is with us, and that might be the case for some of you. Constant, nagging, chronic pain. And that's so hard for us to see, but that's the way it is sometimes with some of God's saints. When pain is with you, writhing pain that you can't escape, Emmanuel, God is with you. Even when you don't feel it, He feels. That is, as the writer to the Hebrews puts it, He is touched by the feeling of your infirmity. He's with you. He knows. Emmanuel. When drugs are with you and medication is with you and all those tubes and this apparatus and that apparatus and the ventilator as you lie in the hospital bed, Emmanuel, God is with you there. And when you stand alongside of the bed of a loved one, you're not alone. God is with you. And when God takes your loved one so that all you have left are pictures, and then your heart is so full of grief and sorrow that you fall. You fall into the everlasting arms which are underneath the arms of God Himself. Emmanuel, God is with you. And when you have a loved one in this present age that we know according to this coronavirus, when you have a loved one, an aged grandparent who's in some care facility or a retirement home, and you may visit them, and they're all alone, they're not alone. Remind them, Emmanuel, God is with us, in us, by His Holy Spirit to abide with us forever. When perplexed by some knotty issue at home, at school, at church, we don't know what to do. We can't see our way through this issue, and we're greatly perplexed, and we find our own understanding to be so vain and useless. Then maybe our first response is, I'll call him. He'll know what to do. I'll text her. She'll know what to do. Stop. You don't know what to do or what to say? Stop. Emmanuel, God of infinite wisdom, He's with us. He says, knock, and I'll open. Seek, and ye shall find. God with us. The people of the covenant, they sorrow, they suffer, they grieve, but no one has ever fallen into and been left forsaken in a bottomless pit of despair and hopelessness, even in the worst of our depression. No one has been left alone in the darkness. Emmanuel, God is always with us, sustaining, protecting, and encouraging us. Now, isn't that comforting to you tonight? Emmanuel, God is with us. Covenant name, comforting name, and now in conclusion, confessed name. We read in the text, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name the virgin. She will call him Emmanuel. Matthew says, by inspiration, and they shall call him Emmanuel. Not only Mother Mary, but they, all the believers, all the people of God's covenant, throughout all history now to this very day, that includes you and me, we will call him Emmanuel. That is, we will confess his name. We will witness of his name. His name is one thing. He has a lovely name, Emmanuel, but there are many people who have lovely names, but their name is never named, and they die in obscurity. Who was the mother of David? Jesse's wife. Very significant woman. The line of the Messiah ran right through her womb. What was her name? Who knows? Her name is never named. Jesus has a name. But he not only has a wonderful name, his name will be named. He will be called, he will be confessed as Emmanuel. And Matthew adds by inspiration, which being interpreted is God with us. And probably no one in Matthew's original audience needed Matthew to tell them the name Emmanuel means God with us. Everyone would have known what that name means. But the Holy Spirit deliberately inspired those words, which being interpreted is God with us, so that they could be explicitly written in the scriptures. And then the significance is not so much in the eight letters that make up the name Emmanuel, whether you spell it with an E or an I, but the significance is in the meaning of the name. And the meaning of the name is explicitly written before us in the text, that we all might know God with us. And then whether we call him Jesus or Lord or Christ or Son of God or Son of Man, whatever we may call him according to the scriptures, we always know this. He is God with us. And now we call him, we confess him, Emmanuel. That's our necessary response and duty in the covenant of grace. It is also our privilege and our honor to name him as ours. So then in worship, in song, maybe with verses that we memorize in our everyday life, in time of suffering, maybe we are up in the hospital, or maybe we are bound in a care facility, name him. Before all the people around you, name him, confess him, and say, God with us. That's our confession. Would it not be so sad and even grievous if the only name the ungodly world ever heard us confess was the name, let's say, of a political figure? Whose name do they name? I'll tell you, it's written on that yard sign. Now, there's nothing wrong with a yard sign. There's nothing wrong with a bumper sticker. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of patriotism. But if the only name that those around us hear us naming is the name of a speck of dust, some man, some political figure, then what kind of witness am I? What kind of witness are you giving to the world? The text says, he shall be called Emmanuel. Let us call him, confess him, name him before all men. That's our privilege. And we do it together. Because his name doesn't mean God with me. He is God with me, but God didn't establish his covenant with a number of isolated individuals. God established his covenant with a body, with the church. Emmanuel means God with us. So together, especially in worship, we confess his name. And let's confess his name all the way to the very end. Come what may, through great tribulation, let us say, God with us. And that's our comfort. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this wonderful opportunity to worship thee again tonight. We've assembled ourselves to worship, to commemorate the birth of thy Son this past week. And now again, morning and night, we gather for worship. We have the freedom to do that. We love to worship Thee. We love to hear the Scriptures opened, to hear of the revelation of Thy love for us in Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that Thy Word may be effectual and have an abiding place in our hearts, so that if anyone came here tonight afraid, full of fear and worry and without comfort, what we cannot do, do, and take this word and put it deep in his or her heart, whether an adult or even a child, so that even we children may leave here tonight saying, all is well, for God is with us. Grant it, O Lord, in thy grace and for Jesus' sake. Amen.